You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Resolved, More Police. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Do we need more police on the streets? That's been the talk here in the United States. Have you listeners outside the states heard such talk? By the end of this program, I want to have over 1 million more police on the streets. That's the number of people who listen to this program every week. By the end of this program, we're going to deputize you as special, unarmed police. Say what? Well, let me set this up. Our research tells us that most of you listeners are Christians. If you're not, this program is a great place to learn about Christianity. Christian folks have an interesting perspective on the problems of modern society. It's true. Most of us recognize that Western society is deteriorating. How deep the rot is, and whether it can be arrested or not, isn't known. But we Christians look at these here and now problems with an interesting perspective, an eternal perspective. We're going to heaven. We're going to a perfect society where no armed police force will be necessary. Hebrews chapter 4 calls heaven a place of rest. Say the go-getters. Some rest is okay, but who wants to spend all eternity in a hammock? Let me tell you, it's not going to be a heavenly hammock. There will be activity there. Heaven is called rest because it is rest from all the troubles and vexations of our life here and now. What you'll have in heaven can never be destroyed. How different that will be from this present life. Take a look at the things around you right now. They are destined to perish. Your home, your furniture, your clothing, all things that are destined to perish. Take a look out the window. You see the plants and trees in the ground, the clouds in the sky. They too are destined to perish. Psalm 102 says, "In the beginning you, O Lord, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish." Change and decay in all around I see. But what you're going to experience in heaven cannot be destroyed. Heaven will also be a rest from the corruptions of sin. A friend shared with me a list called the Annual Estimated Cost of Structures of Sin. Listen, it's estimated that organized crime costs each year $600 billion. Drug traffic, $150 billion. Financial crime, $2,000 billion. Pornography, $20 billion. And the list goes on and on. Talk about the wages of sin. But not so when you and I arrive at that perfect society. In heaven we will have rest from the corruptions and defilements of sin. Nothing unclean, no one who does anything detestable, and no liars will ever enter it, Revelation 21. Only the pure in heart will see God. No police force needed there. Hebrews 4 verse 3 says, "We who believe are entering that place of rest." It's not a boring heavenly hammock. It's a rest from all the troubles and vexations of our present life, the things that make police forces and prisons necessary. St. Peter says it this way, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us a new birth because of His great mercy. We have been born into a new life that has a confidence which is alive because Jesus Christ has come back to life. We have been born into a new life which has an inheritance that can't be destroyed or corrupted and can't fade away. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Peter calls heavenly rest an inheritance. That means you didn't earn it. Inheritances have to be earned, all right, but they're never earned by the person who inherits it. Someone else goes before. Someone else pays the price. Someone else makes all the necessary arrangements. Someone else does it all so that the heir can have a great gift. What a privileged person it is who receives freely what another has earned. Jesus Christ has earned your heavenly inheritance. When he died on Calvary's cross, he earned forgiveness for your sins. That is, he paid the wages of your sins. Face the facts. That list I read before includes your sins and mine. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that it was not by a payment of silver or gold which can be destroyed. Rather, the payment that freed you was the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb with no defects or imperfections. He is the Lamb who was known long ago before the world existed. But for your good, he became publicly known in the last period of time. Through him, you believe in God who brought Christ back to life and gave him glory. So your faith and confidence are in God. Peter tells us that the way is cleared for you to eternal life. Just believe in Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I are going to inherit that. So let's not blow it. How foolish to squander such an inheritance as the prodigal son wasted his. How tragic that Christ should go through all that he suffered for us, that we should then be complacent about our spiritual life. So we must make every effort to enter that place of rest, says Hebrews 4:11. That means that we future-looking, heaven-bound Christians will be accountable for our present life so that we will not lose our heavenly inheritance. We will police ourselves here, lest we fail to come to that perfect society where purity has replaced armed police forces. Yes, indeed, we have now arrived at the deputizing part of this message. The drive to build more prisons and put more armed police on the streets becomes necessary when citizens don't hold themselves accountable for doing what is right. We're screaming for more force because too many of us haven't lived accountable lives. This drive for more police on the streets is a terrible commentary on the self-discipline of our society. Let me illustrate. Whenever I visit my brother at the golf course outside of Chicago, I come away with good material for these messages. Last fall, I was sitting in the clubhouse with Brother Bruce and his friend Don. Don and Bruce were having a good time talking about catching speeders. They were laughing, but I was confused. Don had been a policeman, but I didn't think that retired policemen caught speeders. Well, when it became apparent that I didn't know what they were chuckling about, Bruce produced a little box. The box was about the size of a beeper. The only thing on the box was a little red light and a little red button. "Point this at a car that speeds past you," they said, "and it will activate that car's radar detector." "How do you know it works?" I asked. Dumb question. "When that car hits the brakes and the taillights go on, you know it works," they responded. This little gadget deceives people into thinking that the police are sitting nearby with their radar ready to catch them for speeding. When the radar detector goes off, they obey the speed limit. But they do it only out of fear of being caught. Isn't that symptomatic of the lack of accountability in this society? This fuzzbuster mentality, this you're not guilty unless they catch you mindset, is a big reason for our deterioration as a society. Do we need more armed police on the streets to catch the speeders, the robbers, the computer crooks, and all the others who disregard the law? Or do we need more people who are self-disciplined? More people who know that the laws are for our good? More people concerned about doing right, whether someone is there to catch them or not? More people who realize that they are accountable for what they do, whether they're caught or not. We need more people to police their own individual lives. St. Peter described our heavenly inheritance in such an appealing way. His description of that eternal rest from the corruptions and defilements of our present society was not intended to be escapism. No way. The teaching of heaven is not morphine that you take at funerals to numb the pain. Heaven should prompt us to be accountable here and now for lives that contribute to the good of society. Although Peter in chapter 2 writes about emperors, his emphasis on civic accountability applies in our democratic societies. He says, place yourself under the authority of human governments to please the Lord. Obey the emperor. He holds the highest position of authority. Also, obey governors. They are people the emperor has sent to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. God wants you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. Live as free people, but don't hide behind your freedom when you do evil. Instead, use your freedom to serve God. Honor everyone. Love your brothers and sisters in the faith. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now do what Peter says, and it will make an impact on our society. You think you can't help improve our society? You think, what's my little effort going to accomplish? I'll tell you. If we have well over 1 million listeners to this program who feel personally accountable for what they do, if we have you Christians feeling that you've been deputized to police your own thoughts, words, and actions, if we have you setting an example of godly living for people who don't listen to this program, who maybe don't even know the salvation of Christ, don't you think that will make a difference? Don't you think this would be preferable to more armed police in our streets? Well, of course it would. In church jargon, I'm talking here about repentance. Repentance means confessing our sins and believing in Jesus for complete forgiveness. Because Christ has earned our inheritance, which we receive only through faith, we will practice daily repentance so that we continue our life in that saving faith. We will practice accountability to God and others, so that we might treasure more and more what Christ has won for us. We will police our thoughts, our words, and our actions so that we will remain aware of our present sinfulness and yearn for that gift of purity and perfection in heaven. Which brings us back to where we started. We're going to heaven. We who believe are entering that place of rest. Hebrews 4:3. And when you and I enter, the passage from Revelation 14:13 will be applied. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. But that blessing does not apply to you or me just yet. The inheritance of heavenly rest hasn't yet been realized. We're still living here and now. I am accountable for what I do, you for what you do. Let each of us police our own self. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.